Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. I'd like to look at the first verse, Proverbs 21:1. The scripture declares the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, without a doubt, this scripture sets forth that Almighty God is sovereign. God does as he will. Army of heaven, inhabitants of the earth, no one stays his hand, no one resists him. God is God. In the days of Solomon, the king, the natural king, he ruled with delegated authority and power. He ruled with delegated authority because all power, all authority is given unto the Son, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. So even natural kings weren't sovereign. They thought they were. You know, scripture says of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 5:19, whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he set up. Whom he would, he put down. He thought he ruled. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there's no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." So as high-minded as natural kings were and are, they're dependent on Almighty God who rules and reigns. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs 8:15-16, "By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Almighty God is in control of everything. He does everything. Now, he may be pleased to give someone a heart. I'm going to just read this for you. Ezra chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. "He may be pleased to give an earthly king a heart, a desire for his honor and glory in the accomplishment of his will for his people." Now, Ezra 1:1, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beast, beside the freewill offerings of the house of God that's in Jerusalem." God may move upon Cyrus and tell Cyrus, "This is what you're going to say." And Cyrus says, "This is what I say." Or the Lord may allow a Pharaoh to have his heart hardened and not hearken unto the Lord. Listen to Exodus 7:13. "And he," that is the Lord, hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. What did God do? He let him do exactly what he wanted to do. You want to be rebellious? You're going to have just what you want. Be careful what you ask for. You may get it. God Almighty is God. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it. He directs it. He inclines it whithersoever he will. A gardener, he might find it to be a very easy task to take a little riverlet of water. I remember when we were growing up, we'd have a garden and my dad would put a water hose at the end of the row and I'd just watch it just kind of run down the dirt, you know. I just kept watching it go. And if it kind of got out of the way he wanted, he'd just take his foot or take his hand, just his finger, just move it like that, and there it goes. That's where it's going. That's the way the Lord moves the rivers. That's the way the Lord moves the heart of King. Almighty God turns the heart, the mind, the understanding, the thinking, the resolution, and the determination of everybody, whithersoever he will. He worketh all things. He operates, he affects everything after the counsel of his will. But found within that verse of Scripture, and there's no doubt about it, that's the truth. But found within that verse of Scripture is the glory of Almighty God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the standard? What is the rule? What is the question that everybody must ask whenever you hear any passage of Scripture? What's the question? Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb in this passage? I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, knowing that it actually means natural kings. There's no doubt about it. But I want us to consider the one, the King of Kings himself, who ever stood as the surety of God's people, God's sheep. If we don't see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've missed it. We've not seen the gospel. The gospel is concerning Christ Jesus the Lord, his work, his honor, his glory, his praise. Now I want us to just look for just a moment and see him. The king's heart, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in the hand of Jehovah. Now, as being Almighty God, there's no turning of his heart. As being God, there's no directing. Why? He's immutable. He changes not. He does not change. His mind never changes. Does he have mercy on whomsoever he will right now? Then he everlastingly determined to have mercy. Is he purposed to save a sinner now? Then he eternally purposed to save a sinner. He's never changed his mind. So with him, there's no shadow of turning. But as being found the man, Christ Jesus, the one who according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, the one who made himself of no reputation, the one who stood as the faithful surety and federal head of the sheep, the God-man mediator, we can truthfully say concerning his heart, which has never changed. Now understand something. His heart, as God, never changes. His heart as the God-man never changes. So when was his heart directed? The king's heart's in the hand of Jehovah. Here it is. According to God's everlasting covenant of grace, he who stood as the surety, the mediator, according to God Almighty's will, Jehovah's will, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King himself, agreed to the direction, the will of Jehovah. He bowed as the God-man mediator in holy agreement for God's glory and the eternal good of God's people. He agreed. His heart was directed according. And his God's heart and direction was his heart and direction. It's the same heart. The king's heart, the king's inclination, the king's determination is according to the power and the will of Almighty God. The scriptures are full. It sets forth his deity and his humanity. And only as we see the Lord according to his willingness to eternally, now understand something, the Lord Jesus Christ never came into this world and had his mind changed, the direction, his heart was never changed. It was eternally purposed that his heart was directed. You listen to this, John 4:4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was one of his sheep there. There was a woman at the well he's going to have to meet. And in absolute obedience, according to God's will and God's purpose, before the foundation of the world, eternally, everlastingly, his heart was directed by the everlasting covenant of God's grace, of which he stood and said, I'll answer according to thy will. Why was he doing that? Why was he doing that? Because you and I have got to live by faith. We must live by faith. And he made himself of no reputation, made himself made of a woman, made under the law, to be obedient. And his heart everlastingly moved. And here we see him in obedience, going and crossing the paths of one everlastingly loved of God and chosen in him. Here was God in human flesh. Deity who never changes. Man who is obedient, submissive unto his Father. You listen to the words of the God-man mediator. You listen to his words. My meat, John 4:34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You and I must walk by faith. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to do it. So what did he do? He, in absolute agreement to the Father's will, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love, came into this world according to God's covenant of grace and made himself answerable. His heart was everlastingly turned. And all that he did on this earth, he did in perfect agreement to his Father's will, which was his will. But he did it in absolute submission. Now you listen to Galatians 2:16. I'll read this for you. Galatians 2:16. I told you about a little pamphlet I saw the other day. And he was talking about, he said, this is what we believe. We believe in salvation by faith. Well, it all depends on whose faith you're talking about. If you're talking about mine and yours, my friend, we're up a creek. If you think you're saved because of your faith, that's not what the Scripture says. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Listen to the faith, whose faith we're saved by. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified. Now what does that mean, justified? It means the law looks and says, no charge, no infraction, no guilt, justified. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Here's what we believe. We believe that his faith, his submission, his faithfulness, his obedience is the obedience that he robes us in. That robe of righteousness. He must have come into this world in absolute as a man. In absolute submission to God's will, God's purpose, God's demands for righteousness, and obey God. Obey the law. Every jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled and honored. He came to fulfill it, not to put the law away, not to abolish it, but to honor it, obey it. With men, our minds, that's something that's done according to God's eternal purpose. That's something that's done in time. Our minds are changed. We thought one way, and now the Lord directs us another. We thought one time before salvation, we hated this gospel, hated it, despised the God of this Bible. Somebody said, I never hated God. Well, then either you're wrong or God's wrong. Because the carnal mind, the Scripture says, is enmity. Has hatred for God. It's against him. No, we were all children of wrath. Wrathful children against God. Even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, turned our heart. Gave us a new one. Changed our mind. And now this gospel that we hated, we love it. God's people that we hated one time. Now we love them. Because we love the God who's loved them everlastingly. Called them out of darkness. Here was the Lord coming in into his own. And now here he is. The servant of Jehovah. Find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to his words. Now this is God Almighty. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the suffering servant, obediently living for his people as their federal head. And here's the lamb, the substitute of the sheep who must endure the undiluted and indescribable magnitude of divine wrath. Now you listen to what God Almighty in human flesh, humbling himself, God humbling himself in the form of sinful flesh and for sin, doing this for his people. And here's what he says. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, my friend, how deep and mysterious is the revelation of his submissiveness to the direction of his Father, to everlastingly say, my heart, according to your will, Father, is turned for obedience. I will answer. Like I said, his heart was never turned except everlastingly. He's God. He's the holy God-man. And to find him praying three different times, asking the Father the same thing, if there be any other way, oh, the weight of bearing the sin of his people. But I tell you this, that question, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I tell you what a blessing that is to God's people. They realize there was no other way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without him being made sin and bearing our guilt and putting it away, just far as the east is from the west, behind, back, there's no other way. No other way. What if we're sincere? There's no other way. What if we really do the best we can? There's no other way. What if we give our heart to Jesus? There's no other way. Without the shedding of blood. Oh, my Father. These are the words of perfect faith. Perfect submission. The faith of Jesus Christ that robes everyone in this room today that believes. This is our righteousness before God. His imputed to us. He must submit because you and I can't. We won't. You remember, here's the representative now. He's not standing. He didn't come into this world as one separated. He came as our federal head to obey God. To establish righteousness. The righteousness of God that is charged to the account. In a garden, we fell in Adam. And I'll tell you, in a garden, righteousness, salvation was accomplished, recovered. Satan was conquered. Death was given its blow. And hell and the grave was victoriously conquered. He, from all eternity, stood in submission. I was ever before him. Our delights were with the sons of men. And there he was, the submissive Savior of his people. Jehovah prophetically spoke of him. In closing, in Isaiah, I'll read this to you, Isaiah 42. Listen to this. Listen to what the Father says concerning him. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, who I support. This is what the Father said to the Son. You behold my servant, the one I uphold. You say, well, he God. Can't he uphold himself? As our federal head, he must be upheld. He must place himself in the hands of the Father and walk by faith. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. What does that mean? There's not going to be any resistance to God's will. That's what he's saying. He's not going to say, he's going to bow. He's going to bow. He stood before Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I've got power? He said, you don't have any power except to be given unto you. Who are you? And he said, ask those that hurt me. He did nothing to defend himself. Why? Because he bowed. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, whithersoever he will, he turneth it. Last verse, Psalm 22:9. Listen to the words of the Lord himself. Psalm 22:9-11. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. That's what the Lord says to his father. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. You delivered me. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. What does that mean? My margin says correctly, you kept me in safety. You delivered me. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. You're the only one. What submission. What obedience. We know from his need to go through Samaria, to cross the path of a woman at the well, to his submission to wash his disciples' feet, to silently stand before Pilate, be ridiculed, to have his beard plucked out, to his submission to go to the cross, to the grave. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him. The heart of the king. And if the king's heart, the king's heart, is in the hand of the Lord, where do you think that leaves me and you? May the Lord bless the words to our heart this morning and cause us to see this is our righteousness right here. His righteousness imputed to us. Lord, keep us from looking to ourselves for anything. For God's glory and our eternal good. Amen.